Thank you, Brother Reggie, and good evening, everyone. For the last 2 months, our Brother Alexander Kurian has been taking a wonderful series of Know Your Bible, and I hope you all enjoyed and learned much from the series. I certainly did, and thank you, Brother, for taking us through the Bible to develop, you know, a fresh appreciation for the book we call the Word of God. So we had a bird's eye view of the whole Bible, and today we are going to parachute down to one book, the book of Romans. And I also remember our brother saying that, you know, the first book that we encourage a new believer to study is the Gospel of John, and then the book of Romans. So the saving power of the gospel, or the good news of God, it is introduced in the Gospels, but it is explained and developed in the book of Romans. And, you know, I also noticed that some of our baptism candidate yesterday read from the book of Romans. So in the weeks that are available in December, we are going to be looking at this book. My plan is not to rush through the book, but rather to take our time and look in detail some of the main themes and teachings from this book. I know those who were taking the BSF classes, they went through the book of Romans a couple of years ago. And also, I don't know whether any of you have studied this in your home group. So, but hopefully we will learn something that God wants to see fresh from this book. You know, I know that the month of December is a very busy month for all of us, as individually and also as a church, as a whole. You know, we had our baptism for our young people yesterday. We will have our drive-through Christmas program that is coming up, and I know several are working in the background to get that one going. And I'm sure some of you may be, you may have traveling plans and family gatherings, even though it may be in a controlled and limited way because of the pandemic. Then we will have our watch night service. It'll be on Zoom on the last day of the month. So a very busy few weeks are ahead of us in December. So those of you can join us on Sunday evening for this study, that'll be great. So I want to read Romans chapter 1, verse 1 through 7 as a start. Romans chapter 1, verse 1 through 7 starts, "Paul, a bond servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the holy scriptures concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Through him, we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name, among whom you also are called of Jesus Christ, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as an introduction, I like to share with you a story that I heard from late William MacDonald, Bill MacDonald. He is the author of Believer's Bible Commentary and many other books. And this story really fits the teaching of the book of Romans. I used to play this story in my car when our children were young, and they're very familiar with this story. And he said the story of the two young children, Johnny and Susie, and they were visiting their grandparents out in the countryside in the summertime, you know, and spending some time with them. And they had plenty of land to raise cows and chickens and ducks and so on. And Johnny had a slingshot. And as he was standing outside one day, he saw Grandma's duck waddling by. And Johnny took a shot at Grandma's duck with his sling, and the duck dropped dead. Just dropped dead. So Johnny was in a panic, and he hid the duck in the barn. But Susie, his sister, saw the whole thing. She saw it all. So in the evening, Grandma was baking some good chocolate chip cookies and give it to both of them. And then Susie said, "You know, Grandma, Johnny said he doesn't want any cookies. And he said, I can have his share of the cookies. Didn't you, Johnny?" And then she leaned towards Johnny and whispered in his ear, "Remember the duck?" So Susie ate all the cookies and Johnny did not get any. So after dinner, Grandma said, "Susie, can you please help with the dishes?" And Susie said, "You know, Grandma, Johnny said he wants to help with the dishes. Didn't you, Johnny?" And then she leaned towards him and he whispered in his ears, "Remember the duck?" So Johnny spent the evening washing dishes and Susie played. So the next day, Grandma wanted Susie to help with some chores around the house. And Grandpa wanted to take Johnny fishing. So Susie said, "You know, Grandpa, Johnny said he wants to stay home and help Grandma. Didn't you, Johnny?" And she whispered in his ears, "Remember the duck?" So Johnny stayed home and Susie went fishing with Grandpa. You know, Johnny could not take it anymore. So he went to Grandma and he confessed the whole thing. And Grandma said, "Johnny, dear, you know, I know what happened. I saw the whole thing. I was standing by the window when that happened. But I wanted to see how long Susie will make a slave of you. How long Susie will make a slave of you." You know, like I said, this story goes along well with the book of Romans. And that's what it's all about. You know, the book of Romans tells us that the whole world is in chain and bondage of sin. And the only thing that can free humanity from this bondage is the gospel of God. You know, what a freedom Johnny experienced after he confessed and made right with Grandma. So just like Grandma saw the whole thing and knew that Johnny was miserable, missing out on a lot of things, Grandma waited for Johnny to come to that realization. And God knows, you know, everything about us and see how much we are missing out when we are under the control of sin, but he waits for us to come to that knowledge that set us free from the dominion of sin. You know, in a nutshell, so the book of the Romans is a book about the gospel and the freedom you can experience when you come under the power of this gospel. Freedom from sin and guilt that binds you and make your life really miserable. You know, one of the things that most people say when they accept the gospel of God is that a great burden, a great heaviness has been removed from their life, and a peace and tranquility has replaced the heaviness of sin and guilt. Then you have this inner desire to know God and know the things about God. You know, if you ever taken a philosophy class, you may have come across a statement by a French philosopher named Jean-Jacques Rousseau. In his book, Social Contract, he famously stated that man is born free and everywhere he is in chains. You know, another translation of the same quote I saw is man is born free and everywhere he is in shackles. And another translation says, man is free, but everywhere he is in bondage. You know, it's kind of sound like the book of Romans, isn't it? But with one major difference, and that is, what he is implying is that man is absolutely free when you are born. But, you know, the social conditions are what chains you. That's what shackles you. That's what puts you in bondage. But the book of Romans say exactly the opposite. You know, you're not born free, but born in sin, slaves to sin, in bondage. And the only thing that can free you from this slavery is the gospel of God. You know, in the Western culture, there is a constant call for freedom, you know, and rights. And what they meant by freedom is that they say they should be allowed to do anything without questions or boundaries. They say it is their right. See, the notion is that one has no right to tell others what they can or cannot do. So their cry is for absolute freedom. But the book of Romans will tell you that absolute freedom is absolute slavery. It's slavery to the world, it's slavery to the flesh, and it is slavery to the devil. Because when we come across the later chapters, that's what Paul is going to tell us. Absolute freedom is absolute slavery. And the only way to break free from this slavery is to become a slave of Jesus Christ slavery to Christ is where the real freedom is. And Romans will tell you that the way to enjoy life is not absolute freedom, but freedom with the right restrictions. And you will find that in the teachings of Christ, in the gospel that Paul is going to write. But this book also, you know, answers some of the common questions and doubts you have when you are a young Christian. So this book is a really good book to study for our young people. Remember having a conversation with my older son on one occasion. I was picking him up from the university, and in the car, we were talking about spiritual things. And he asked the question, what about people who have never heard the gospel? How can God hold them responsible for something that they never heard of? I'm sure you can also remember that question. I think most people ask that question when you are growing up. I definitely asked that question. I remember questioning, what about people who had never heard the gospel? How is God going to judge them? But I told my son, well, Bible has an answer for you. And I was able to explain to him from the book of Romans what the Bible says about people who have never heard the gospel and how God is going to judge them. So it is a good book to study for our young people. As you are growing in your faith, you will find answers for a lot of questions that comes up. So the book of Romans is known as the world's most influential letter. I'm sure we will all say that whenever we study a book, we say, oh, this is the best book. But, you know, I can truly say that it is the world's most influential letter. You know, those who have taken the BSF classes, they studied the book of Romans, like I said, a couple of years ago. And I like the statement, one of the statements they have in their study guide regarding the influence of the book of Romans. It said, quote, from the bustling Greek commercial city of Corinth, Paul wrote a letter to Christians in Rome, whom he had never met. And in other circumstances, and by another hand, this letter might have been an incidental, soon to be forgotten piece of correspondence. But by Paul's hand, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, this piece of ancient writing, the letter of Paul to Romans, has become the most influential letter in the world. And I think that statement says a lot about this book. So as we are still continuing our introduction, I want to look at a couple of major figures in history that was really influenced by this book and really influenced the early church movements. We all know about Martin Luther, and he was a German monk who had been taught that God required him to live a righteous life in order to be saved. Even though he was a monk, actually, he writes that he had grown to hate the God. Isn't it? That's a pretty strong statement. He had grown to hate the God that demanded righteousness from him that he could not deliver or attain by his suffering, no matter how much he tried. But when he finally understood the gospel of Christ, as Paul explains in the book of Romans, he understood what it meant, what Paul meant. So he said in his commentary on the epistle to the Roman, I did not love a righteous and angry God, but rather hated and murmured against him. Then I grasped that the righteousness of God is that righteousness by which, through grace and sheer mercy, God justifies us by faith. Then he said, thereupon I felt myself to be reborn and to have gone through the open doors into paradise. I broke through. And as I had formerly hated the expression, the righteousness of God, I now began to regard it as my dearest and most comforting words. That is really a breakthrough, isn't it? I think Martin Luther finally come to the realization that there is no way we can attain the standards that God has set by our own efforts. It has to be something that God gives to us by sheer mercy, and we receive it through faith. So he said, I broke through, as I had formerly hated the expression, the righteousness of God, I now began to regard it as my dearest and most comforting words. You know, Luther's breakthrough in Romans will lead to the recovery of the gospel in Germany and throughout Europe, and led to the Protestant Reformation. And it was from Paul's teaching on the doctrine of justification by faith alone that Luther stood against the whole world in the 16th century Reformation. Now, the second person that was greatly affected in the book of Romans is a man who had a Christian mother but turned his back on his faith. His name was Augustine, 4th century Bishop of Hippo, which is Algeria now. He decided to live however he felt, extremely morally degrading life. But while living in Milan, he heard the preaching of Bishop Ambrose, that was a towering figure at that time, and he found himself unable to shake off what he heard. He wrote in his confession, I'm going to read that part of his confession because it really gives us a glimpse of the change that happened to this man. He said, the tumult of my heart took me out into the garden where no one could interfere with the burning struggle with myself. I was twisting and turning in my chains. Suddenly, I heard a voice from the nearby house chanting, as if it might be a boy or a girl. And he said, pick up and read, pick up and read. And I took the book of the Apostle to the Romans and opened it, and in silence read the first passage in which my eye lit. He said, not in riots or drunken parties, not in eroticism and indecencies, not in strife and rivalry, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in its lust. He says, he continued, I neither wished nor needed to read any further. At once, with the last words of this sentence, it was as if a light of relief from all anxiety flooded into my heart. All the shadows of doubts were dispelled. So God, used the book of Romans to bring to faith this man who influenced the church, early church, in a very mighty way. And, through history, many, many mighty men of God were transformed by the teaching from the book of Romans. And now it is in our hands. It is available for us also. And, it has a life-changing and history-shaping message for us. And the reason is because the Romans is about the gospel. Paul was writing to the church at Rome because he wanted them to first understand the gospel and then to experience the gospel. Our time is running out. I just want to look at one more thing. Just look at the writer Paul. As we all know, the author of the book we are going to look at is Paul, the apostle. And what kind of a man was he? I remember a few years ago, on one of our retreats, our brother Alex Kurian has looked at the man Paul in great detail, and it was a wonderful study about this great apostle. But I just wanted to look just from this book of the Romans, what we can gather about the mind of this apostle. What kind of person was he? The first verse itself is a window into the soul, or the look into the inner workings of this great apostle. What do I mean by that? Let's look at the first verse itself. It reads, Paul, a bond servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. I know some translations use Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. But I understand that the correct translation of the word bond servant here is slave, purchased by the master with a price and belong to the master. The very best translation of that part of the word should be Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. The most interesting aspect of these two titles he is using in the very first part of the very first verse, slave and apostle. That's how he introduced himself. And the dissimilarity of these two terms is particularly striking. First, look at the title slave. It's a title of great humility. It expressed Paul's sense of personal insignificance without rights of his own, having been purchased and belonged to Christ. But the very next word that he used as the title is apostle. So the word apostle, on the other hand, is a title of great authority. And it expressed his sense of official privilege and dignity by reason of his appointment and commission by the risen Lord himself. So he's introducing himself as a slave with no authority and an apostle with great authority. See, what I see here is that he had a very balanced view of himself, and it reflected in all his writings and in his dealings with the people of God. In one way, he knew that he had a great authority as an apostle, but on the other hand, he also realized that he is a slave of Jesus Christ with no authority of his own. The second verse, I will stop after this. The second verse that gives a glimpse into the mind of this great apostle is verse 11 and 12 of the same chapter. He says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established, that is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me." So in these verses, he expressing his desire to visit Rome. And in verse 11, gives one reason he wants to do this. It says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established." But in the very next verse, very next breath, he says, "That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me." You know, so right after he said the verse that says that I want to establish you and encourage you, he says, "I want to be encouraged by you." That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. You know, although he is an apostle, he is not too proud to acknowledge his need to be encouraged by the believers in Rome. He acknowledged the reciprocal blessings of Christian fellowship. And, you know, it'll be good to have spiritual leaders who are anxious to receive as well as give, learn as well as teach, and devoid of a proud heart that they are not in need of others' encouragement because they know more than others do. So these are a couple of initial observations I made of the writer Paul, a slave with no authority, but an apostle with a great apostolic power. Yet he dispensed that power in a very balanced way because of his understanding that he himself is under authority, under his master. And then he wants to encourage others because of the knowledge and the commission that he received from the Lord, but he's not too proud to acknowledge the need for others, the believers, and the need to be encouraged by them also. So these are some of the initial observations that I want to look as we enter into the book of Romans. And next week, we will go into chapter 1 and verse 1 a little bit more in detail and further see what we can learn from these verses. So we will have a word of prayer and we will end this session. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us this evening in thy presence. And Father, we understand the value of thy word. It is so precious. And we understand that in parts of the world they are hungry for a page, and they are writing it with their hands and copying it, and trying to study this underground where there is persecution. But you have given this in our hands, and Father, what value should we place, and how much time should we spend learning from thy word? And Father, as we are looking into the book of Romans, the greatest theme, the gospel that transforms humanity from the darkness to the marvelous light of our Savior. As we study this, Father, we pray that thou may give us the light. Help us to be humble, no matter what our calling is. As Apostle Paul, even though he was called to be an apostle, he was humble enough to acknowledge his status as a slave and as a need to be encouraged by others. We pray that God may also give each one of us, whatever our calling in life is, that we may, we will always remember that we belong to our Master and we have instructions from him as how to dispense. The authority then comes with the calling that you have given us. So commit our rest of the night and the rest of the week into thy mighty hands. We pray for each and every one in the assembly. We pray especially for those who were baptized yesterday. And Father, we commit these young people into the mighty hands as they face the challenges of this world in the days to come, Father, that they may protect them. Father, they may be merciful to them, watch over them. And Father, we pray that I may keep them for thyself and they may grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we commit again our evening into the mighty hands. So thank you again for the blessings we enjoy. And we ask and pray all these in the very precious and holy name of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.